Members of the board, for those online, I think all of you are familiar with me. But my name is Kevin Martin. I am the Department Policy Director. I'm acting as Compliance and Procedure Specialist, which is the kind of role and responsibilities that are asked today. I'm here today to present the staff's recommendation to the board on this matter. So as you're undoubtedly aware from previous presentations from Mr. Engel's intro, we're here today to discuss the impact, if any, the court's opinion may be one, what impact that would have on the board's approval here of the licenses that were issued in November 2020. You'll recall from 2 weeks ago, I presented a fairly substantial briefing discussing the history of the project before the department. As part of that presentation, I suggested to you to kind of, in order to address that impact question, you needed the answer of your questions and why those questions were prompted was to kind of guide your thinking in terms of the types of concepts you have to consider when you're looking at these briefs. And those questions generally concern the applicability of the department's TRI requirement following the issuance of the license, as well as the extent of the board's authority to potentially take action on remand here after issuance of the license. So again, when you're looking at impact, what you have to consider is where would that impact be? So when you're looking at something like title, the impact would have to be in section 11D of the application acceptance criteria. Those requirements in chapter two, where we're talking about what is required in order for the department to accept an application. The other piece to consider in that analysis is what could the board do if there was an impact? What authority would you have to take certain actions? In order to kind of discuss this issue, we also have to discuss who has what authority. So as Mr. Rangel mentioned, we have the department, which has this overall department term that's made up of the board and the commissioner. Those duties are delegated to the commissioner and the board in specific statutory sections. We'll discuss those. The last group that I'll discuss in your proposed board order kind of follows this general concept of looking at the URI, looking at the authorities for post-licensure action, and then looking at the general purpose of TRI. And those matter because of kind of the disagreements that you're seeing here today between how the department looks at TRI and how those who agree today that oppose those views look at TRI. So let's start with TRI. TRI plays a specific role in the department process. It's not a licensing criteria, and that's been disputed today, but what you'll notice is yet go into the processing of the application, but when you actually deal with substantive criteria in that license, it's not there. Because most of those considerations when we're looking at, for example, an air emission permit or a waste discharge permit, we are beyond that point when we're looking at the substantive criteria. What we view it as instead is a threshold issue. It gets you in the door, you have to prove that particular concept. The department's TRI requirement is articulated, as I mentioned, in the rule concerning the processing of applications and other administrative matters. I think that title of the regulation is apt here because it creates a very distinct distinction between the processing of applications and those other administrative matters. The TRI requirement occurs as part of the application's acceptance. That language states, direct from chapter 2, section 11B. I have that here in your book packet. It's 400. But prior to the acceptance of an application as complete for processing, an applicant shall demonstrate to the department's satisfaction sufficient title, right, or interest in all of the property that is proposed for development or use. Some of the key language here is at the end, which is that an applicant must maintain sufficient TRI throughout the entire application processing period. That language is critical and it's clear. An applicant must maintain sufficient TRI throughout the entire application processing period. Those words matter a lot here. You'll recall the first question posed in that briefing. Just when does that application processing period end? That's been disputed here today. The department's position on that issue is that the application processing period ends when a decision is issued. What is an application processing period? Well, that is defined in statute. It's discussed in statute. We have an entire section of our department powers to discuss the application processing of application, section 344. And while it's proposed today by Mr. Perkins that there's not a clear endpoint here, I kind of wish that was the case, and I know staff wish that was the case. We have application processing timetables, which lay out timetables with which we have to act on these applications. And if we don't, there are consequences on the department. We have processing fees that we charge, focus again, processing concepts. Processing fees are charged if we do not meet those timetables and issue a decision, that endpoint, we have to forfeit those fees. So when does an application end? Every provision of statute and regulation points to one point when the decision is issued. So I'm going to return to that TRI language again. So an applicant must attain sufficient TRI throughout the entire application processing period. Who must maintain TRI? An applicant, not a licensee. If you look at Chapter 2 as a whole, you'll notice which provisions apply to applicants. I'm not sure how tech savvy you are, but if you control F, which is how you do the search function for specific terms, you will find that if you search applicant, all of those uses associated with that application period processing period, or they reference that application processing period, there's a very clear distinction between how we treat applicants and how we treat licensees. Those licensees receive other protections, due process protections that apply to licenses that do not apply to applications. When we look at returning an application, you can see that application processing period, it applies from the acceptance until that decision is issued. That is the period of time where returning an application applies, because that is the period of time with which we are processing an application and spending the department's resources reviewing that application. Parties have submitted briefs today that have suggested two alternatives to this interpretation. The first suggests that the application processing period does not end, but rather extend, and that TRI must be maintained until an appeal, an agency action works its way through the courts to final judicial resolution. The justification for this from the Door case was provided in your board packet for your consideration. The department believes there's multiple problems with this theory. The first is that it looks with the clear text of the regulation in our statute. And the second is that there is a distinguished difference between judicial standing, which is dealt with the Door, which deals with judiciary's right to its control of its resources, and an acceptance of an application, which deals with the administrative agency's right to control the use of its resources. They're similar, they are, but they are two different bodies and they have two different terms. They're not in any way linked together where it would extend from one to the other. The second interpretation today posits that maybe one turns clock back the clock. So this effectively asks you to return to the point where the board would reconsider this with an active application processing period, essentially resurrecting the application processing period. The major problem with this, again, is that the application processing period is dependent upon the licensure. So when there is a license in place, that process would end. As a couple of Attorney Bensinger's questions bring up, the licenses were not vacated here. The licenses continue to exist. We're asked to consider the impact of those licenses. If the law court wanted to vacate the licenses, they could have. If that was their directive, they could have vacated us and sent us down at a different level of process. They could have also provided specific instructions what to be considered is TRI funds. If not, do so. What instead we have is we have an active license. We have a concluded application processing period. So if you're asking what powers, not just the board, but the department would have in the circumstances to return an application, it does not exist here because that is concluded. We have active licenses. So instead, what we have to shift to is the secondary stage. We have to ask what actions can occur to a license. Licenses are subject to separate series of procedures and actions that may affect them. Acting post-licensure, the department derives authority to take subsequent action on a license through certain statutory duties delegated to either the commissioner or the board. Those powers are very clear in section 342, which is duties that are vested in the commissioner, and section 341D, which is the power vested for. Also clear in the circumstances which of those powers apply to whom. Suspension and revocation are powers vested in the commissioner. The board has a limited authority for modification that's based upon a recommendation from the commissioner. It's been posed in briefs that the board somehow attains the authority to revoke or suspend a license through the board's jurisdictional process over an application. However, that's not what the language in the statute says. I think it's also very clear, well, to the, any extent that there's any ambiguity there, the 2011 change here is very clear. So this is a major statutory change to LB1. I think everybody in the agency knows what LB1 means when they hear it. It refers to that particular provision, that particular statutory change, which was, there were many beyond this particular one, but this one applies, which is a clear shift from 341D3 to 342. So that power to revoke and suspend was removed and shifted to the commissioner. So to any extent there is any doubt that this was a board authority, the board did have this power. It was taken away by the legislature and given to the commissioner. Right? We can't speak to the merits of that decision. That's the legislature's choice. But that is what was done, and that affects the case here. What does that mean? It means the power to deal with these subsequent developments is vested in the commissioner. So the department is not helpless, as has been implied here. The department does not make a determination and has its hands tied behind its back and cannot react to anything that goes forward going in the future. The board can't in certain ways, but the commissioner can. So when we have something like a circumstance where title might change, what we have is a potential impact is a change in circumstances. Change in circumstances is a criteria that's based in section 342.11b, also laid out in the regulations chapter 2, where we deal with suspension and revocation. Those criteria, that change in circumstances, are decisions that are made by the commissioner. So it is something that can happen. We are not bound to any sort of mistake or any sort of inability to react to change. That change is we have the ability to change it. I think it's difficult to discuss here in some ways. The suspension order is in the record as kind of the acknowledgement that it exists. So from the perspective of the board, I think the proper way to view that is that those powers are in the commissioner's hands and the commissioner has acted to them. What the commissioner has done is fairly irrelevant necessarily to the board's determination here today. Because all that matters essentially is that power is vested in the commissioner and the commissioner has the authority to act. So to the point we're at is asking whether maybe one impacted the orders, it can impact the orders. But from a board perspective, what powers do you have to react to that particular type of impact? The board is limited. So the board is not able to fully act because it cannot return an application, as we mentioned, because returning an application is not applicable here. And it can't revoke or suspend licenses because the board does not have the power to do so. So when the court asks what the impact is, I think from the purposes of the board perspective, there's not much impact that the board can deal with, the department can deal with it as a whole, and hence. But from the board's perspective, it's fairly limited. The last point I'm going to raise gets to this kind of purpose of TRI, of the TRI requirement itself. And the board order is very clear because I think the department has a strong stance in terms of what this means. And the department recognizes that this is a discretionary determination on how to use its resources. And the impact that the court decision can have on that, it's subject to kind of the same level of discretion the department has in other decisions. Every statutory and regulatory provision, however, kind of points to that particular discretion. I don't think there's too much more to push that. I'll kind of get directly to the conclusions here, and I'll open it up to questions. I know this is complex. I tried to make this as simple as possible because there's a lot of complex case law and a lot of complex legal analysis that has been going on in the background here. But I mean, the thing I'd like you to focus on is that your analysis is actually fairly simple. It's about powers, and it's about what the department's ability to do certain things is. So, with that said, the staff's recommendation is to recommend that the board make the following conclusions, which are laid out in your board order. First is that the application processing period for the applications associated with the challenge approval ended when the licenses were issued. That was on November 19, 2020, and that title right of interest is not required to be maintained subsequent to that point for the purposes of returning an application. The second is that the board return applications are revoked. The permit exceeds the board's authority. The third is that the board does not have authority to revoke the licenses. And lastly, for the reasons stated in the staff recommendation for the board order, the law court's decision in AB1 does not affect the validity of the issued licenses. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Questions from the board?
Yes.
Specifically.